Hey, everybody. This is Jennifer Busco, intuitive energy healer on We Talk Raw. And I'm with a special guest today, Todd Chittister. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
So this show is called We Talk Raw. And I was just asking, is that because of the Ouija board? Like, why is it spelled O? Is it O-U-I? So Todd, have you ever played with the Ouija board?
actually, never, because I grew up in a place where you'd go straight to hell. Ooh. If you played with a Ouija board. It was crazy.
And for anybody listening, the reason why it's spelled that way, so it's O-U-I, is because it's French, because it's the global radio station.
I love it.
So everybody's listening, Todd. The whole world is listening to you.
I'm sure everyone is 8 billion people right now.
So welcome to We Talk Raw, Todd Chittister. Todd, we are here today to talk about you and what you're doing with your life. What are you doing with your life?
I'm trying to figure that out every single day. But I recently, within the last year, took what felt like a very bold move for me, which was to leave kind of the trajectory that I was on in corporate America and start a company with the skills I thought I had and to build something and follow a dream that was put in my heart at some point in time in my life.
So Todd is a friend of mine. You're a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And I work with you for you as well. And so you had a very comfortable, stable lifestyle with 3 children and being a single dad. And now you took that step. You have that courage to try something that's maybe a little bit more meaningful to you, giving you a deeper way of living. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting is you associated the words comfortable and stable. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's true anymore. People still quest for stable, but they're really, when COVID happened, the idea of stable kind of went out of the window.
We thought deeper.
Yeah.
Yes,
we all, and it was interesting because everybody all at once around the world was impacted by the same thing. And the question about stability and the question about like why we're here became bigger for everyone.
So that was a catalyst for you, the COVID time, sort of being by yourself.
I was working.
Self-reflection.
I had a lot of people that were working with me that were upping quitting. If you remember, 40% of the workplace left in 2020, mm-hmm. 50% of the workplace left in 2021, and people were quitting without jobs. And so I went on a vacation to find out what people were doing.
Tell us where you went.
I went to Costa Rica. It's my place.
Who'd you talk to?
Some turtles. Turtles talk
to me. He talks to turtles.
Turtles talk to me.
I talk to angels. Todd talks to turtles. It's a great match.
Yeah. To fill in the gaps there, the last night in Costa Rica, found myself lying on a beach in the middle of a third world country and just realized that things were much more important than the trajectory and what we're supposed to do.
And how did you leave corporate America? Was that by choice?
I think the universe makes things happen as they should be.
Rejection's you know? God's redirection?
Yeah. I think there was a combination of something in me that was compelled towards something and an alignment of where we were. And so I loved the people that I was working with. I loved engaging with people on a real level.
Mm-hmm.
But found myself nearing 50 years old and wanting to take one big swing at life.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So tell us about your company. What's your elevator pitch?
So the elevator pitch is simple. Like, it's way too hard in this day and age to own a house. When you buy a car, you look in the glove compartment and there's a maintenance plan for your car. You follow it to a T and your car is maintained. When you buy a house, most people don't have a clue on how to maintain their house. So we use the principles of corporate real estate, commercial real estate is which it came from, to go in, assess the full house, give you a digital customized maintenance plan. We assign you a person to your house called a homemate. That homemate comes and helps you care for your house, clean your gutters, mm-hmm. wash your windows, and make sure that the maintenance on your house is done all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing about it is there's an app and there's a button that says do it.
Do it.
Just
the do it button.
And so you hit the button and you ask us to say, hey, move. that light fixture to there, and mm-hmm. we mobilize a team to do that.
I love it. And the company's called Dwell Link. And what I love about it is I believe we're moving into a more innovative sort of era and way of life that people want to spend time doing things they love. They want to spend time doing things more creative versus like that 9-to-5 grind. And what I love about Dwell Link is one of your pillars or taglines is that you save people time. You give them time to do things they'd rather be doing. So these homeowners don't have to be cleaning gutters on a Saturday. They can be in the art studio, painting or writing music, preparing to be on local music somewhere.
and I think that that's part of what COVID happened too, is like, we didn't want to go to the restaurant. We'd hit a button, it comes to us. Like there's a convenience to life that we want so we can experience to its fullest. We want to go to a brewery on a Saturday. We don't want to clean the gutters. We want to spend time with our friends and our family. And the home is a beautiful place. 70% of America still thinks home ownership is the ultimate goal. Mm. I'll tell you, 81% of millennials that buy a house today have at least one major regret in doing so. It's this desire. It's a fantastical thing of owning a house, but it's become too hard. It's become too easy to live in an apartment and have the amenities and push the button. We're trying to take that same experience to home ownership.
So you went to Costa Rica. You had a sort of coming to Jesus, a big catalyst that you decided you wanted to make a change. So how did you have that courage to take that first step? Like, I'm going to get a business license today. Like, how do you even begin to find that courage to be like, okay, I am doing this? Like, was there a pivotal time or moment where you were like, I am doing this? There was no turning back.
Well, being true to the name of the show, I will tell you that.
Speak in French.
Yeah. it's not that linear. It wasn't that linear for me. There wasn't a day of like, I know I must do this, jump. It was a series of being pushed and having to respond to being pushed off the cliff to like jumping off the next cliff. And it took 6 to 8 months of me. I didn't quit to go do something. I was compelled to do life differently for the rest of my life. And it was to care for people in a different way, to ask real questions of people, like, how are you doing? And wait and listen. And I just believe that true, authentic compassion wins the day. And I think you can build a business around it. And so I didn't know what that was going to be. And ultimately, the concept of taking what I knew really intimately and caring for corporate buildings to people's homes kind of became a metaphor for life of,
I love it.
Get your stuff together and get a maintenance plan in place to take care of it. And you need other people to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have a love for home maintenance?
I used to. No, I'm just kidding.
Before it became a job.
You know, I have a, there is nothing more exciting than when we make problematic things go away for homeowners and to see people that felt helpless at times to care for their home, have a new love for their home. And again, this is all metaphoric, but like it's a panic when it rains outside and it's raining inside, you panic. And so now when it rains outside, you can go inside and like know that your house is taken care of and it's not rotting. And so do I love home maintenance? I love the results of home maintenance for our members.
Love it. Yeah. And so I work around you very often, and there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving pieces. A lot of us wear a lot of different hats because it is a startup and we're trying to grow. So what do you do to not go down the rabbit hole when something bad happens, quote unquote, and your thoughts can sort of take you down that rabbit hole? Like, oh my God, what am I doing? This is going to tank. How do you cope with that? Like, do you meditate? Do you tell yourself something? Do you have to go for a walk? Like, what is your coping mechanism to pull yourself out of those sort of scary days?
It's a great question, Jenny. I think the most important thing for me, and I believe it's different for a lot of people, is to surround yourself with the proper mirrors. And what I mean by that is have people in your life that reflect back to you truth. And when you start to doubt or question, you go to your mirrors. And you've been one of those, my sister. And try not to have broken mirrors around you, because the world will tell you a lot of different things.
What if they're reflecting something back to you that stresses you out or gives you a little feeling? Like, what do you do to, how do you calm yourself down and keep yourself sort of above the line when you're running the ship? You're the only pilot.
There's some breathing techniques that I do, but fundamentally for me, I wish I could go tell you that I go to a place of calmness, and I grind through it, and it's an area of opportunity for me. I have great hope that as I mature in life, that there are going to be better coping mechanisms that I have. I believe that it's fundamental for me. That for this company I will need to continue to figure that out. I think you asked the and I'm going to try to stay true to the raw version of this for around the world, and be very clear. I'm not here to celebrate a wonderful success of a company. Like quite honestly, we are in the middle of trying to build something beautiful. And every day you're looking at P&L and you're looking at mistakes, and every mistake matters, and we make lots of them. And so I think, again, being a metaphor for life, it really is about how you deal with that mistake. It's when you look in the mirror and it's reflected back to you, like, that isn't, like, what you truly do and who you are has to change, then it's incumbent upon you to make the change. And it's hard right now. It's a hard time. You know, we work hard, but the rewards are there. Like, we get to do what we want to do and care for people every day.
I think the scary part in this situation is there are a lot of unknowns, because this has never been a road that you've traveled down. So you don't really know how fast this is going to grow or how slow or the things that are going to happen. So if somebody was watching and they were thinking, oh my gosh, this is so inspiring. I am miserable in corporate America or whatever job they're doing, and I really want to start something new that's more towards a purpose or a passion. What challenges have you had to overcome that were unexpected that you could tell anybody that's watching this?
I'm going to answer the implied question first and then the second one.
Okay.
The implied question is, what would I tell them if they had that feeling? If you're in corporate America, or if you're a teenager in high school, or wherever you are in life, the faster you can figure out who you are at your core, that's the only way you're going to get to where you want to be happy. And so take the time, go on walks, go to counseling, have great mirrors, know who you are. And being the best version of that is where you, and like, that is the only place you're happy. And so, like, you can surround that with work or relationships or anything else. So take the time, the effort, and the energy to know who you are.
Love it. And go ahead.
And the second thing is, you will make mistakes, you know, and I think you've heard me say this to you before. The only thing I'm great at is being me. And that's got to be enough.
Every mistake I'm sure you learn from, right? And you gain more wisdom on how to be the pilot of the ship, the captain of the ship.
Isn't that funny though? I don't even talk about work anymore. So we'll go back. Because the funny thing about life is, you don't graduate until you learn the lesson. Mm-hmm. Like in school, you can graduate without learning something. You can go to the next grade. But unless you actually change, like, the behavior, like, you're going to get the same result. Like, if you keep making the same decision about relationships, you're going to get the same results. If you keep trying to compound a bad decision with another bad decision, you're going to stay where you're at. You got to make a good decision to get out of it. So,
love it.
Yeah.
So in my field of healing and spirituality, one of the things that I preach to my clients is really tuning into how you feel, because your emotions are part of your intuition. So your emotions are an internal guidance system from, in my opinion, something bigger. So versus listening to the logical brain. And so in a field like what you're doing, which is very business oriented, you have to use your brain, right? Like the logistics of who's going to do what and whose homemate's going where. Do you ever tune into those little sort of smaller emotional feelings and honor those? Or do you kind of pull it back up to the mind when making choices that are dwell link related?
I think that every day our intuition is talking to us, and we get to ignore it or embrace it. And so The answer to your question is when I slow down enough.
Good one.
I'll allow myself to even pay attention to that. I have a historic way about me that logically, analytical, grit my teeth, get through it, versus just pausing and saying, all right, what are the options here? What are the consequences here? Is it really that big of a deal? I think what I've learned is that homeowners are real people. And the biggest thing to do is like be honest. Like we thought it was going to be easy. We opened up the wall and there's rot everywhere. And fix mistakes when you have them. Apologize when you make one. Like, again, it's just a metaphor for life.
I love it. So when you were in Costa Rica, did you have sort of that like intuitive, emotional, I am doing this, like clarity of feeling that you wanted to do this? Was that sort of the catalyst?
All right, I'll be raw.
Be raw. We.
No, I didn't have the clarity of this is a company I'm going to start. I had clarity of we get to live a life one time, you know, and that we are a small speck of dust in this wonderful, beautiful universe of ours, and that we are uniquely created to be our best selves, and that if where you're at in life doesn't propel or engage with that, we have choices to go somewhere else and be something else. And first I came back and I had long conversations where I was. You can make change everywhere. You don't have to quit jobs or go start a company. You can make one small change every day to say, I'm going to be a better version of me. And so in Costa Rica, I knew that I could never not do that again. I believed I was convinced that good mattered. I was convinced that it matters to be kind and good to people. And that was enough. It's the closest thing to understanding God I had in a long time.
So when you look back at pre-Dwelling Todd Chittister, do you feel like you've grown so much over the past year and a half from taking that leap and having that courage? And in what ways?
So there's implied yes. As my friend, you can tell me if I have or not. I believe I'm less uptight. I believe that.
I think I agree with that, actually. Yeah.
Charlotte's a tough place to live. Like, we fool ourselves into thinking that things matter. And you don't even know. It's in and around us everywhere. A car you drive, where your kids go to high school, where they're going to go to college. What's the definition of success? And when you go from having what appears from other people to have some of those things figured out to having it not figured out, you then have to lean on to things like, does it matter to care for people? Does it matter to like it has to matter. Like the purpose, the mission has to matter. And so, yeah, I've grown into that. I drive cars that don't barely work and and I'm completely happy with it.
So the relationship to yourself has been fortified because you took this leap and sort of walked through that fear, would you say? Like you trust yourself more?
I think so.
Do you feel a little bit more invincible because you are doing it?
Not invincible for sure. I think I told you at one point in time, I've never not been who I am. But for a long time, I swam in the wrong lane. You know what I mean? And I think this is a really important. If there was only one soundbite here, if we could edit this one. The reality is we're told how we're supposed to do life. You know, when you're 16 years old, you start to get the pressure of your grades and where you're supposed to go to college, and you have to go to college, and you have to go to a good college, and you need to be well-rounded in college, and then you need to have a job, and then you have to have that job, then you need to meet someone, and then you need to get married at some point in time, then you get promoted, and you have to have a kid, then you have to be an elder in a church, and then you have to be an executive somewhere. And that's just a lie.
Did you do all that, Todd? I believe you did. You're the American dream.
Interestingly, I come from a small, small town. And my dad and you laugh at this every time, but my dad was an
industrial. Let's say it together.
Woodshop teacher. He was an industrial arts teacher, metal and woodshop. He's the guy that your stereotypic industrial arts teacher, which if you're 40 years old and listening to this, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, you don't know what that is. And that's why you don't know how to turn a wrench.
That's why you need dwelling.
You're great at YouTube, but you don't know how to do anything else.
It's TikTok. Great. They'll TikTok it.
But like, I want for people to say, like, you don't have to do it. And I have kids that are in college now. And I've told them, like, Dad, why do you not? Like, I went to Duke University. Like, I have a really good degree in engineering. And I'm not sure that, like, it matters. Like, some of my best friends, much smarter than me, their first semester in college, decided it was going to be a party. And they came home and are wonderfully happy in their small town being plumbers. And I kind of go back to, like, we don't have to do it the way that we were told. The only way you get to happy is being you.
I always tell my 11-year-old, Oliver, if it feels right, it is right. If it feels wrong, it is wrong, which I know is so basic, but I really feel like when things feel right, like it just felt right for you to, you know, whatever happened, however you left corporate America and to start this thing, it just felt right. And I feel like it does feel right to you, even now, even during the challenges and the obstacles that you have to face and overcome on a daily basis. And so I think it's just really important for people to really tune into, does this feel right? And if it does, I think that you're on the right path.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to believe that, you know. Yeah. I'm not sure I had the self-compassion or love to even, like, allow that to be, like, everyone else. Yeah.
I think it can still feel right, but you can still also doubt. Yeah. Well, I think those things can live simultaneously. Yeah.
And it means a lot. Like, you were my friend long before we worked together, and I think you've seen me go through this. You've actually seen me anguish in this, and
I've seen the ups and downs.
Yeah,
then, definitely been at happy hours, happy hour time slots with you, with the ups and downs. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's exciting because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we look back on this radio station, like, remember when?
Remember when you thought you knew what you were doing?
Yeah. But I can tell you the thing I do know is I'm.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break on We Talk Raw, and we'll be right back with Todd Chittister.
All right.
And we are back with We Talk Raw on R Beats Radio with Todd Chittister. Todd, the tables are turning. You want to ask me a question?
I got all kinds of questions for you, Jenny Vesco. I think it's fascinating that I'm sitting across the table from you and you're talking about me following my dreams.
Yeah.
How beautiful is this? That you are sitting here asking me about my dreams, and you were made for this. And so how does it feel to, like, sit here and...
I think every day is just a small step towards, hopefully, me making an impact on people, whether it's through sessions, workshops, these sorts of, you know, conversations. So I feel like it's just, I'm just chipping away. I'm walking up the mountain, walking up the hill to really just getting the word out about what healing and changing the relationship to yourself can do to your life.
So when I met you a couple of years ago, you were about to start a podcast, remember?
Yes.
And you were in a trailer.
Yes, I was so nervous.
You were nervous?
Yes.
And I remember asking you, like, you're like, you're going to have to do that every week. And how many weeks in a row did you do that?
Like 65 or something. And all on my own, which is so crazy.
All on your own. You did all the editing.
A lot of work.
Is it worth it?
I think it was worth it. And I think it gave me the confidence to know that I have a voice that wants to be, you know, shared and people want to listen.
Talk to people that are have decided to follow their dreams and are in the middle of it, where, like, it's a Thursday and rent's due Friday. Like, talk to me that you can, like, tell me how you do this. Like, what do you do?
So typically when I have clients, even in a session, they're like, I don't know what my purpose is. What's my purpose? And what I have learned and what I've been told by many, you know, healers is when you find yourself, your purpose finds you. So that's why I think the work that I do with healing and spirituality and really helping, remove stuck and stored emotions and all these things that we store in our body, that sort of helps you find yourself, and then your purpose just sort of finds you, if that makes sense. So the more that you have that relationship to yourself that's like self-loving and you have that self-worth and healthy boundaries, the purpose, it's easier to find. The path is more open. But what I often ask clients is, what has never left you? Like, for example, my two loves, my two lifelong loves from when I was however old, have been music and some sort of form of there's something bigger out there. I've always felt that way since I was little. And those two at age 32/47 are still, they're still my two loves. Healing and music are my two life loves. And so anytime I'm doing anything that has to do with them, I am just vibrating very high.
I love that. I ask the question sometimes when I meet people, like, what do you love to do that you haven't done in a while? Mm. And they'll say something. And I'm like, why haven't you done it? It's like, do it. And so, like, if you ask that stuff, like, what are my loves? Like, what do I love to do? Why haven't you done it? Why aren't you doing it? Do it. I bet you you'll love it again.
I think a lot of America is very comfortable and familiar with being a little unhappy. It's sort of the way of life, just like complaining about life. And I think there's a level of comfort of just kind of like, meh, my life is okay. And I don't want to live that way.
No. What do you think about the statement, fake it till you make it?
I think it can work.
I think
it can work if you're in that sort of energy frequency, or even spending time around people that have made it, I think is another way to sort of fake it till you make it. You know, like I do the social media for my spiritual teacher because I want to be on her team. I want to be around her energy. I like being in that frequency. It elevates me, it inspires me, and it makes me want to like work harder because she's way ahead of me in what she's doing than what I'm doing.
We had a really good conversation yesterday with your friend. And we were talking about kind of three basic things we talked about. And you're going to help me with these. But I think one was you establish trust, right? And transparency. Mm-hmm. And the last one was vulnerability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that how do you know when to be vulnerable and not be vulnerable? Like, that's the scary one.
Biggest, loudest word ever, safe. You have to feel safe. You have to feel emotionally safe to be vulnerable. If you don't feel like it's going to be received in a non-judgmental way or received with love, at least I know I shut down. So for me, it's like being vulnerable is being okay with being uncomfortable speaking about something that's maybe hard to talk about. But I think the recipient has to make you feel safe.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way for me to be vulnerable.
I think I have erred on the side of being too vulnerable in the past. It was just like shotgun vulnerability. Like, here I am.
Todd likes to cry. Todd's a crier. You haven't cried today. I'm
I
so happy
not.
For you.
I love crying, though. I was crying. I was laughing. And so I think that that's an important thing. Like, vulnerability in that place with the right people is fundamental. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be innovative. You can't think outside the box. You can't say you're sad. You can't be authentic.
Well, and it's raw. Like, speaking of, we talk raw, right? Like, being vulnerable, it's almost like your heart's open and it's raw. And so that's a really delicate place to be. And that takes courage. It takes courage to leave corporate America, you know, but it also takes courage to be vulnerable. So, tell us about old Todd. What were you doing in corporate America? What was your life like then?
I wore a suit sometimes. I had teams around the world that took care of facilities, buying them, selling them, creating asset registries for them, digitizing a building, and making sure that those buildings performed to their highest intended purpose, whether it be a corporate center or a banking center or a call center. And it, over the last number of years, took the form of, like, how do people work? Mm. So buildings are intrinsically connected to how people work. And so during COVID, it was a wonderful study and the combination of those two things. And so that's why it lends itself to, like, taking care of a house for that. My background is in process improvement, really boring stuff of how do you look at data and information to improve a process.
Did you enjoy that at all, though?
I love it. I'm such a nerd.
Do you miss the old stable, corporate, comfortable, the CNC, corporate and comfortable lifestyle?
I do.
You do?
I miss the people I miss, I think I was always that person that was able or had to ask the question, how are you? Like, and I got really, I made some really incredible friends, and there were people everywhere. And if you didn't like the person, like it was, I miss it a lot. I miss connecting on a different level.
You miss, but don't regret moving forward.
No, I don't. And if there's a path that leads me back to corporate America, I believe a better version of me gets to go. I think actually corporate America needs empathetic leaders that ask the questions, how are you? Like, we lost 15% of the female workforce during COVID. 15%. Just done fell out. And it's made it really hard. Like, life has been hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
And to not stop and ask how that impacts you, I don't think you can be an effective leader.
When I think, you know, they say ChatGPT and all the robots and the AI are going to be taking over so many of those sort of mundane, roles in the workplace, that sense of connection is more important, right? Like that sense of us connecting to things that ChatGPT can't do, like connecting with one another, creativity, right? All of that stuff, I think, is really where we're going. And maybe even in the corporate America world, like that aspect of it might be a little bit brighter.
Yeah, I believe it's more imperative than ever to who you are as a person and to bring that full version of you to bear wherever you are in life, whether it be corporate America or otherwise. I have never written anything better in my life than what ChatGPT does. Not a single thing. And so like what I have to bring to this world is me. And like, and to ask and be and like hear.
Yeah, the presence, can ChatGPT find courage? Like, how does ChatGPT have courage? How does ChatGPT, right? Like, have connection and creativity? I think those are just really powerful parts of the human realm.
Yeah, I think people are scared about it, but they shouldn't be. I mean, we should be scared about anything that's not controlled, but what we should not be scared of is or underestimate our ability to adapt.
Do you think ChatGPT could write a song like Taylor Swift?
Yes, I do. But ChatGPT could not perform it like Taylor Swift.
No. Or fall in love like Taylor Swift is.
That's for sure. You and Taylor Swift. I bet you that you could weave Taylor Swift into every episode.
So.
That would be raw because it's so true to you.
Yes.
Are.
Well, it's funny. So when I do sessions with clients, I do what's called like an alignment where I align with their energy. So I'm like literally like having their energy sit in my lap. And I always say, oh, don't worry, I'm going to clear me from you energetically and you from me. But if you find yourself singing Taylor Swift songs tonight, text me because that means I didn't clear my energy from you. That's all me.
I love it. Jenny, I know that we're coming to an end here, but I wanted to say something to you because I had a chance to interview you on your podcast.
You did, yes.
And I can tell you that it's an honor that I'm your first person here.
Oh, and, thank you.
Nope, not going to happen.
Oh, don't cry. Nope. Tissues, nope.
But your courage to be your best self is inspiring, and it inspired me. And so I am honored to be your friend. I'm honored to be here, and I'm excited to do great things with you.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. Are there any closing advice that you'd like to give anybody that's thinking about making a really big transition or change with what they're doing in life?
Yeah. Make your world smaller, not bigger. Find the people that love you, truly love you, and start with maybe five at the most, bring it to 10, and then go from there. Like, it matters more if you're going to make a change that the people that you surround yourself with, they have your back.
Love that.
So that's what I would say.
I think that's great advice. Takes a village, so you want to feel supported. No, by that.
Can't do it alone.
I think that's great.
If you're going to jump, don't jump alone.
And even though you are the CEO, the founder, do you feel alone or do you feel very supported?
I used to joke, and I will say it because it's raw here. And we talked earlier about like what pronouns you're supposed to use. And I used to always joke, my pronouns are we and us. Like I don't want to do this life alone. I want to do it with people. I don't want anything to be just mine. Mm. And so I don't even think this thing got started until like you and, mm-hmm. and a few others started to do this with me. So
speaking of life alone, are you single? Shameless plug. He's single.
Yeah. Taking applications. I'm kidding.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming, Todd. This was a delight.
Do we get to delete that last part? Out? Or was that live?
There's no deleting. It's
luckily,
all live. It is all live.
8 billion people around the world listening. By the way, 5'11". No, just kidding.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in to We Talk Raw. And thanks, Todd Chittister, for being here today.
Thank you, Jenny Besko.